الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. First and foremost, I apologize, and that's it. This is one khutbah that you have to listen to. I mean, I hope you don't have anything really urgent pending, because يعني it's heavy weight khutbah. So I kindly request of you to remain as long as you could to benefit, inshallah ta'ala, from what the Shaykh mentioned in the khutbah. The title of the khutbah is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You probably were able to identify that during the khutbah. He began the khutbah by praising Allah, saying, "All praise is due to Allah who did not beget any son, nor did he have any associate in his sovereignty, nor did he take any assistance and glorify him the way he deserves to be glorified. And he bore witness that there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah alone with no partners. He gives the dominion and the kingdom to whomever he wills, and he takes it away from whomever he wills, and he honors whomever he wills, and he disgraces whomever he wills. In his hand lies all good, and he is able to do all things." And then he bore witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Allah's slave and his messenger and the chosen one from among the creation. May Allah exalt his mention and grant him peace and all those who follow them. As to what follows, the most truthful speech is the book of Allah. And the most truthful speech is the speech of Allah. Then he quoted the ayah wherein Allah azza wa jal commanded us to hold on, to die in the state of Islam, to fear Allah and say that which is right and straightforward. He said, "Slaves of Allah, sabbihu." Now, of course, you hear the word subhanallah all the time. And sadly, many people don't know what subhanallah actually means. The usual translation is, "Glory be to Allah," right? But that doesn't really give you the meaning that you want. Tasbih, as the scholars explain it, is to glorify Allah above any imperfection. To exalt Allah above any imperfection. Any imperfection, any deficiency, anything which is not befitting the majesty of Allah. Subhanallah means Allah is high and exalted above that. That's exactly what it means in the Arabic, even Arabic terminology. So when you say glory be to Allah, it's like a short abbreviation for the lengthy meaning. The lengthy statement. But remember the meaning. Exalted and high is Allah above any imperfection and or deficiency. So when you say sabbihu, which is a command here, it's an imperative, meaning you do that. You glorify Allah above any imperfection. The one whose knowledge has encompassed all creatures and has access to the intentions and that which is hidden. He knows the treachery of the eye. And Ibn Abbas said the treachery of the eye, خَائِنَةِ الْأَعْيُنِ, is when a man will be sitting in a gathering with other people. And then a woman walks by. And he wants to look at her. However, he's worried that the people in his company will see him. So he doesn't look at her as long as he knows they're paying attention. As soon as he sees that their eyes are distracted from him, he tries to sneak a peek. And that is خَائِنَةُ الْأَعْيُنِ. The treachery of the eye. Now he may have been able to deceive the people around him. They didn't see him looking while they were absent-minded. But Allah knows that. That little sneak treachery of the eye, يَعْلَمُهَا وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ, and what the chests conceal. He initiates and he brings things back. And he is the one who does whatever he wills. He created the creation not without a purpose, nor did he take the wrongdoers as assistants. He honored those who obey him. And Allah described them in the Quran. Those whom when we give authority upon earth, whenever they're given the establishment upon earth, whenever they're given the ones to be in charge, what are their qualities? أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ, they established the salah. وَآتَوُ الزَّكَاةِ, and they pay the zakah. وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهُوا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, they enjoin what is good, they forbid what is evil, and to Allah returns all affairs. Then he humiliated whosoever disobeys him. And then Allah says regarding that, verily Allah does not rectify the deeds of the corrupt people. He is ever to his slaves a protector and an assistant. And against his enemies he is irresistible and humiliating to them. Ibrahim was thrown into the fire. And so he said, Hasbi Allah wa ni'ma al-wakil. Hasbi Allah, which means sufficient is Allah for me. Hasbuk means enough, stop. Hasbi Allah, sufficient is Allah wa ni'ma al-wakil, and what an excellent protector. So Allah said to the Nar, because Ibrahim said that, Kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Be a source of coolness and protection against Ibrahim. So the fire didn't burn him. Musa and his brother Harun entered upon the head of all Tawagheet, the biggest kafir during his time, Fir'aun. And they were afraid of his might. They were afraid of him killing them or harming them or exiling them. And so they said that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did Allah say? He said, لا تخافا إنني معكما أسمع وأرى. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I hear and I see. So that was the support of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you all know what happened. So Fir'aun and his people chased Musa into the right there at the edge of the Red Sea, until his own people, the people of Musa, said, "Inna lamudrakun, we have been caught. They have caught us." He said, with all confidence from Allah, "No, verily with me is my Lord. He shall truly guide me." He created the creation not because he needs them to worship him, because he is the self-sufficient, and the slaves, the human beings, the creatures are the ones who are in the state of poverty and need of Allah. Allah says, and I did not create the jinn nor the ins except to worship me. I do not want of them any sustenance, nor do I want them to feed me. Verily it is Allah the Razzaq, the one who's always providing rizq. Dhul quwwatil matin, the possessor of power, the most powerful or the most strong. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, Allah further said, the heavens are about to split asunder from above them, from above the angels. Qatada, one of the tabi'een and the mufassireen, said, this is from the azama of Allah. Because of the greatness of Allah, the heavens above the angels are about to split asunder. Slaves of Allah, know that the traditions from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are authentic in regards to the following information. The distance between the earth and the first heaven, between the ard and the first sama, is that of 500 years. That of 500 years. Masira, meaning walking. So the distance between the ard, where we are right now, and the first sama is 500 years. And then the thickness of each one of the heavens is also the distance of 500 years. Then what is between the heaven and the one which is above it? Again, 500 years. And so on and so forth until the seventh heaven. Then above the seven heavens is the kursi. What is the kursi? What is the kursi? No. If the kursi is the throne, what is the arsh? Huh? That's a trick question. And these are the most basic things most of us don't even know, sadly. The kursi, and now here, when we're going to go to a very technical issue, so calm down. Because some people panic. The Sahaba, Ibn Abbas explained, Al-kursi mawdi'u qadamay Rabb tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is the place where Allah places His feet. The kursi. You're thinking feet? Yes, feet. Don't think how, don't imagine anything, it's haram. But don't you dare deny what a Sahabi and the Prophet ﷺ affirmed. The same way Allah has a wajh, He has a face, laysat kal wujuh, not like the faces of people. He has yadain, hands, not like the hands of people. He has eyes, not like the eyes of people. This is in the Quran. This is all from the Quran. Kullu man alayha fan, wa yabqa wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram. No one can deny that. And the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah from the time of the Sahaba, including the four Imams, Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Shafi'i, Malik, Ahmad, and the Tabi'een, was unanimously like that. Until the Muslims mixed with philosophers and Christians came into Islam and Hindus and what have you, and then they started bringing this philosophical understanding of Allah. So they started denying what Allah affirmed, affirming what Allah denied, and they wanted to understand Allah in a new way. But that was not the way of our righteous predecessors. They were clear cut. They didn't explain them away. Whatever Allah described Himself with, they believed. But they had one general principle. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like Allah. Don't worry about it. Don't worry, there's nothing like Allah. So whatever you're imagining is false. But you cannot deny what Allah affirmed to Himself. Otherwise you're saying the Quran is not mubeen. And if you say wajh doesn't mean wajh, it doesn't, now it's no longer ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. It becomes a book full of raib. If you're going to doubt every time Allah described Himself with something, it's no longer إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ. We have to be very careful from institutions and institutes where we were institutionalized in our home countries to believe something that was not believed before. And we have become attached to it so much so that when we hear the truth, we are repelled by it. And we may even reject it. But I advise you to return and read the books of our righteous predecessors. See how they understood these ayat and the ahadith. Otherwise, be careful of denying. The kursi is where Allah Azza wa Jal places His feet, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith, by the way, the hadith is sahih. In the tafsir of the ayah, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلْ امْتَلَأْتِ فَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. The hadith mentions Allah will place His foot in Jahannam until the Jahannam will be cornered to itself. It will all be cornered, and then it will say, enough, 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 enough. These are authentic ahadith from the mouth of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. None of the Sahaba said, oh Allah, what does that mean? What do you mean something else? Is this metaphorical? Is this symbolic? No. He said it. They understood Arabic language. Qadam means qadam, it means foot. And that was the end of the discussion. They did not elaborate, which means they submitted. They knew Allah's greatness is beyond human imagination. And we should follow their footsteps, because that's the most important thing you meet Allah with. Believing in Him as He instructed you in His book and through His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But sadly, many people went astray in this regard while they think that we are astray now. I know some people thinking this is off. It is not. Kursi is for the qadam. Al-arsh is the throne. And Allah Azza wa Jal is Allahu Akbar, and Allah is above all of the creation. Nothing needs, Allah doesn't need anything. Some people think that the arsh, Allah is dependent on the arsh. The arsh is dependent on Allah. Allah doesn't need anything to recline on, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the majestic, the most high. Continuing the hadith. And what is between the kursi, and the seventh heaven is like the distance of 500 years. And Allah said, His wasi'a kursiyuhu as-samawati wal ard. The footstool, they call it, the footstool extends over the heavens and the earth. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and the proportion, the ratio of the seven heavens, the whole seven heavens, in comparison to the kursi, only the kursi, is like a ring thrown in a vast desert. Can you imagine how big a desert is and how small a ring? The seven heavens compared to the kursi only, all of this you see, the universe, compared to the kursi only, is like a ring in a vast, spacious desert. Then the hadith continues. And then he says, and the comparison of the kursi to the arsh is like a ring in a vast, spacious desert. So you can see how the greatness of the throne, this is the greatness of the throne, dhul arshil majid. Don't even ask about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the distance between the kursi, and then there's water above all that. The distance between the kursi and the ma' is 500 years, and the throne of Allah is above the water. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. These are things which we find in the Quran, but we don't read really the Quran. We just listen to bayan once a month, or whenever someone gives us a speech, and our relationship with the book of Allah is divorced. You read it just for ajr. We want hashr hasanat for the harf. But we really don't know what the Quran says. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ. But if you were to read the Quran, nothing was mentioned here except that you will find the references for in the book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. طيب, the hadith continues. And the kursi compared to the arsh, like I told you, is like a ring in a vast desert. And no one knows the greatness of the arsh except its creator. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, with the exalted names and perfect attributes, is above all of that. Yet not even the slightest event which takes place is absent or is unknown to Him. With all this, every single event, every single movement of even the wind or the tree leaf, everything is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba, "Verily I see what you don't see, and I hear what you don't hear. The heavens are squeaking, and it has the right to squeak. There isn't the distance of four fingers, except that you will find an angel in the state of prostration. In all the seven samawat, you won't find a distance of four fingers except that there's an angel there doing sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam further explained, when Allah decrees a matter, when He gives a command, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْءٍ أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. When Allah speaks subhanahu wa ta'ala, see what happens in the heavens. When Allah speaks, when He issues a command, as soon as Allah issues the command, the angels will start beating their wings. They will start flapping their wings very, very hard. And they will go into the state of submission. It is as if you are beating some chains against a soft rock. As if there's a soft rock and you're beating chains against it from the strength of the sound. And so they will become very scared because of what they hear. Then, until the fear goes into the very the core of their hearts. Yani the fear will reach the deepest level in the angels' hearts. Then, when they are no longer in a state of fear, they will say, "Mada qalu rabbukum?" This is in the Quran again, this part of it. What did your Lord say? "Qalu al-haqqa wa huwa al-aliyyu al-kabir." He has said the truth, and He is the most high, the greatest subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when Allah wants to reveal a command, He will speak with the revelation, and then the whole heavens will start to shiver of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when they hear what Allah azza wa jal said, all of them will fall, the angels will fall into sujood after the issue of Allah, the command of Allah has been issued. And this, the angels are powerful. The angels are strong creatures of Allah azza wa jal that we cannot even describe. And with that greatness and that strength, look at the ordeal and the havoc which takes place in the heavens when Allah Azza wa Jal issues a command. Of course, nowadays we hear it from one ear and it goes out the other one. We hear Amr Allah, the Amr of Allah, the command of Allah, but it's just yani the people say, "Yeah, I know. Yesterday I was, buying some mobile recharge. And the guy was selling all these cigarettes behind him, like all these boxes. I said, "Yahi, keep selling mobile, stop selling cigarettes. All of these people will be in your neck on Yawm al-Qiyamah." He looked at me like, say, "Ya Allah," started talking. I said, "Subhanallah, yani, no," as if there's no accountability. It's yaqeen that, Allah is going to forgive him. We don't have that greatness of Allah in our hearts the way that the Sahaba used to have. And now you tell someone, says, "Ya Allah, imshi." He doesn't want to hear it, as if he guaranteed himself a place in Jannah, wal-iyadu billah. The Prophet ﷺ said, "I was allowed," listen to the angels, listen to the description of the angels. He said, "I was given the permission to speak about one angel from the angels of Allah who carry the throne." Huh? You know that there are angels who carry the throne. Surah Al-Haqqa, Ahsant, وَيَحْمِلُوا عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٌ. One of the angels, the distance between his ear, the ear, this piece of meat here, and his shoulder is the distance of 700 years in walking. This is the distance between his ear and his shoulder. The one malak, one of the eight malaika, this is 700 years walking from the malaika. Yet look what happens when Allah Azza wa Jal issues a command. He said, then the Shaykh went on to say, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to raise his ummah, used to educate them in regards to the obligation of magnifying Allah and glorifying Allah. In the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, it says, again, a hadith which is explicit in regards to the aqidah of Ahl-Sunnah al-Jama'ah. Pay attention. A rabbi from the rabbis of the Jews came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "We find it written in our book that Allah Azza wa Jal will make the heavens on one finger. He will place the heavens on one finger. and the earth on the seven earth on one finger, and the trees on one finger, and the water on one finger, and the rest of the creation on one finger. And then he will say, I am the king. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled until they were able to see his molar teeth. And then he recited the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the Sahabi said, Tasdeeqan. He smiled, acknowledging the statement of the Rabbi. Acknowledgement, the statement of the Rabbi. Then he quoted something from the Quran, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. They did not magnify and estimate Allah's greatness in due estimation. وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The whole earth will be in the grasp of Allah's hand on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. وَالسَّمَوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ. And the heavens will be folded with His right hand. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Exalted is He above that which they associate with Him. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, in affirming that, he said, الْقُلُوبُ بَيْنَ أَصْبَعَيْنِ مِنْ أَصَابِعِ الرَّحْمَنِ يُقَلِّبُهَا كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. The hearts are between two fingers of the fingers of Allah. He turns them around however He wills. So ask Allah to keep your heart firm. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. All these are words from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, using terminology that was understood by the Sahaba, the most eloquent of Arabs. Asabi', but they knew there's nothing like Allah. There was no imagination there whatsoever. But they didn't deny either. And another hadith, it says, and this is a great hadith, the Prophet, hadith of Ibn Umar, this ayah which we just recited, the Prophet ﷺ was once reciting it from the minbar. He was reciting this ayah from the minbar. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. And then the Prophet ﷺ was going like this with his finger, moving it forward towards the people and back. And then he was saying that Allah Azza wa Jal glorifies Himself. So he says, أَنَا الْجَبَّارِ. I am the irresistible. أَنَا الْمُتَكَبِّرِ. I am the one full of pride. And that is only befitting Allah Azza wa Jal. Human beings, you cannot be mutakabbir. You have to be mutawadi', humble. But Allah Azza wa Jal, it doesn't befit His Majesty to be humble, because He is the great. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَنَا الْمَلِكِ. I am the king. أَنَا الْعَزِيزِ. I am the full, one full of might. أَنَا الْكَرِيمِ. I am the most noble and generous. So when the Prophet ﷺ was reciting this and saying this, until the minbar, the pulpit, started to shake under the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba thought it was going to fall apart. It was going to fall apart from the greatness of these words. So he went on to say, so glory be to You, oh how perfect You are, O Allah, how merciful You are, how compassionate You are in regards to our sins. We have really not known You the way You deserve to be known. Then he went on to say in the second, the slaves of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bigger than everything. Allahu Akbar. Everything we describe, Allahu Ta'ala Akbar min kulli dhalik. And He is greater than everything. And He is more deserving of praise than everything. And He is alone the creator of the whole universe. Nothing happens in this world. Not even the movement or the lack of movement. Nothing goes up, nor does anything go down. No one is honored, nor is anyone humiliated. No one is given something or prevented except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does what He wills, and there's no one to resist or to argue. When a Bedouin Arab said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, pay attention here now, for those who go to the grave, to the grave sides, and they seek shafa'a from Mawlana Fulan who's dead in the grave, huh? Or they go to the Medina, instead of praying in the Masjid al-Nabawi, they go to the grave of the Prophet alayhi salam, thinking that this is over there where their dua will be accepted. As if this is a specific place for dua, even though it is not a specific place for dua. Let alone those who turn towards the qabr instead of turning towards the qibla. Let alone those who try to throw pieces of paper. Help me, O Messenger of Allah. My son, O Messenger of Allah. A'udhu billah. The very shirk which Islam came to destroy. The very shirk which the people of Nuh were committing. And every nation came with the same mentality. إِنَّمَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفًا. We only worship them so they can get us closer to Allah. It's only dua, but I'm trying to get to Allah. هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. These are only our intercessors with Allah. The same thing. وَدَّنْ وَسُوَاعَ وَيَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرَ. Same mentality. You find it today in the Muslim countries. And you try to speak to one of them, you're a Wahhabi. يا أخي الكريم, I'm telling you, Allah in the Quran said this is the deen of Tawheed. What do you mean I'm a Wahhabi? This is Allah telling you. Oh, no. Doesn't want to accept it. You're a Wahhabi? Don't talk to me. You're trying to take me to Qarn al-Shaytan. Huh? They know one, two hadith, khalas. The horn of Satan will come from there, from Najd. You know, the kingdom, the Najdi Wahhabi kingdom. This is all from the tricks of shayateen. Wallahi, these people have been misled. They intend good. We assume their niyyah is excellent, better than ours. But wallahi, they have been led astray by the shaytan. And if they don't repent to Allah Azza wa Jal before they meet Him, no salah, no siyam, no zakah, no hajj is going to benefit. Anyone who meets Allah with shirk, Allah will not accept his deeds. لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ Your deeds will definitely, most definitely be nullified. Let us understand what tawheed is and what shirk is so we can do tawheed and avoid shirk. Listen to this, this will help. A man said, Ya Rasulullah, verily we seek your intercession with Allah and we seek Allah's intercession through you. The Prophet ﷺ said, Woe to you! Do you know what you're saying? Do you realize the gravity of what you're saying? And he continued to do tasbih, subhanallah, 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 until the sahaba knew there was something great. There was something major. He said, verily, no one can do this shafa'ah with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah is not a shafi'ah of anyone. Allah's affair is way greater than that. Similarly, another hadith, a man said to him, ما شاء الله وشئت. Whatever Allah wills and you will, he said, أَجَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدًّا Have you made me equals with Allah? بَلْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ Rather, whatever Allah alone wills. Didn't leave any room for anyone, even him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know how important he was. And you know how much he was loved. And he knew his status, yet when someone made just the mashi'ah of the Messenger of Allah equal to Allah, he became angry and he told them, no, whatever Allah alone wills. Let alone now what people are doing in the name of loving him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So slaves of Allah, as much as you know Allah, the more you have knowledge of Allah, the greater the magnification you will have in your heart towards Him. And the more you will fear Him. The more you reflect on the ayat of Allah and His the greatness of His creation in the universe, then the more you will know the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ How perfect is Allah, the one to whom in His hands all dominions, and to Him you shall surely return. He says, slaves of Allah, reflect on the greatness of your Lord. The deprived one is the one who forgets the greatness of the Lord and is preoccupied with the lowliness of His creatures. And this is the one who has been blinded in his sight. And then he quoted the ayah. وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى Whosoever is blind in this world, then really in the life to come, he will be more blind and more astray. Ibn Abbas said in tafsir of this ayah, whosoever was in this dunya blind, blind in regards to the qudra, the ability of Allah in creation, in creating the heavens and the earth, and the mountains and the oceans, and the people and the animals, and whatever is like that, then verily he will be, in regards to what I have described of the life to come, more blind and more astray. In regards to Jannah and Jahannam, they're blind. They really don't see Jannah, yani in a sense they understand it, so they look forward to it, nor do they believe and see Jahannam so that they run away from it. They become blinded to these things, so you find them leading a life, وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ which they know it will take to Jahannam. يعني a Muslim doesn't pray. Can a Muslim call himself a Muslim and he's too busy to pray to Allah? Video games, no problem. Television, no problem. Shopping, business, buying, selling, no problem. Salah, I'm busy. Is this a slave of Allah? This is not a slave of Allah, no way. If you believed in Jahannam, and the first thing when the people of Jannah will be asked about, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ What did they say? قالوا لم نكن من المصلين. The first thing they said, we were not among those who used to pray. The first reason to enter Jahannam after shirk is not establishing salah. People sleeping during Fajr, until now, one or two rows maximum for Fajr, and everybody else's Fajr is on their pillow. Can't get off of the bed, the bed is too comfortable, man. That is not true belief. Just so you will know, that is not true belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we can't wake up for Allah in the morning, I don't know what to say. So the Shaykh said, whoever refers his matter to other than Allah, he will be disappointed. And whoever speaks about something that someone else will suffice him other than Allah, he's a liar. Allah, nothing escapes Allah Azza wa Jal in the heavens and the earth. Then he quoted the ayah, and nothing is hidden from your Lord, the equivalent of the weight of a grain, nor in the heavens, neither in the heavens nor in the earth, neither something smaller nor larger, except that it is written fi kitab mubin, in a manifest book. Now he said something nice. Well, he's been saying many nice things. He said, my brothers, what would you do if you were to wake up in the morning and there was no sun? You wake up in the morning, there's no sun. Or if you were to, or the moon at night was to go away and disappear. How would we live? How would we grow vegetation? How would you grow vegetation? How would we eat? Rather, how would we learn and teach others? And the people now say, well, we have electricity. But still, all this is relevant to the cycle of the night and the day. Without them, we cannot continue using electricity to live our lives, nor use, you know, some other means to grow vegetation. It will not be harmonious with human beings. What is harmonious is what is organic, what is natural from Allah. Any other means will fail. Will eventually fail. We will run out of resources, and we won't be able to maintain. Then he quoted the ayah. Allah says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ See, say, do you see, if Allah made the night sarmadan, meaning permanent, He made the night permanent until يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, which ilah, which God other than Allah will be able to bring you light? Do you not hear? Then Allah said, say, if Allah made the whole day permanent, until يوم القيامة, daylight, there's no night, which ilah other than Allah will bring you a night so you can find peace and tranquility? Because at night you just want to rest. You want to rest. Which ilah other than Allah will do it? أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ Do you not see? Subhana. Every day he is in a different affair. He forgives a sin. He alleviates a calamity. He raises some people and he puts the others down. He gives life and he causes death. He yumitu hayyan, he gives death to one who is alive, and he responds to a supplicator, and he heals a sick person. He honors whomever he wills, and he humiliates whomever he wills. Every day he is in a different affair. He heard the call of Yunus in the darkness, and he replied to Zakariya, so he gave him Yahya, who was a guided and a source of guidance. And he removed the calamity from Ayyub, and he made the iron soft and for Dawood, and he made the wind go by the command of Sulaiman, and he split the ocean for Musa, and he split the moon for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he saved Hud and his people, and he made the fire a source of coolness and peace upon Ibrahim. Slaves of Allah, glorify the one who sends down water from the heavens, and so that the earth will bring out its vegetation. And glorify the one whom the thunder glorifies his name and the angels out of his fear. Then he quoted the ayah, يُسَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ And the thunder glorifies the praise of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the angels do so out of fear of him. And he sends then the thunderstorms upon whomever he wills from among his slaves. And verily they continue to argue in regards of Allah, and his plan is the most fixed and firm. Glorify the one who destroyed the people of Ad and then Thamud and the people of Nuh, who were more oppressive and more transgressors. And I'm trying to read it quickly. Yeah, glorify the one who every day is in a different affair. He gives the dominion to whomever he wills, and he takes it away from whomever he wills. He created the heavens without any pillars which you see, and he made the earth flat. And he made the sun move to a position that is predetermined. This is the arrangement of the Aziz al-Alim. Glorify the one who gave every creation his creation, then guided it. Glorify the one who made the mountains means for the earth to remain fixed. And then that was all the first khutbah. Probably going to make dua against me very soon. Tayyib. He said, if the slaves knew the greatness of Allah, they would not have disobeyed Him. They would have not have disobeyed Him, Afwan. And if those who are the lovers, if they knew the beauty of Allah and His perfection, they would have not loved anyone besides Him. And if the poor people knew how rich their Lord is, they would have not bothered to go for anyone else besides Him. He is the one who responds and He answers the call of those who call on Him. He said, verily in the heart, there's like chaos that cannot be contained except by returning to Allah. And in the heart, there's this absence, there's this vacancy that cannot be filled except by feeling comfortable when you remember Allah. And in it, in the heart, there's sadness which cannot be taken away and replaced with happiness unless you truly know Allah and you sincerely worship Him. And there's a form of anxiety which cannot be taken away unless you refer your affairs back to Allah and you run away from Him to Him. And in it, there are fires of regret which cannot be extinguished except by being pleased with His command and His prohibition and what He decreed, the qada and the qadar. And there's another vacancy which cannot be filled except by loving Him, returning to Him, and remembering Him often, and being truthful and sincere to Him. Whoever comes to Allah Azza wa Jal, the distance of an arm's length, Allah will come to in the distance of a ba', which is like a distance. Whoever comes to Allah walking, Allah Azza wa Jal will be hasty to have him come, and Allah will move to him in haste, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He calls on us even though He doesn't need us. He calls on us to come back to Him even though He doesn't need us. So He said, Ya ibadi, qul ya ibadi, say my slaves who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah forgives all the sins. He is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Whoever leaves something for Allah's sake, Allah will give him more. And the people of His remembrance are the people who are mindful of Allah. The people of thankfulness are the people whom Allah will increase. The people of His obedience are those whom Allah will honor. The people of His sin, the people who sin, disobey Allah, He will not make them despair from His mercy. If they will repent to Him, He is the one who loves them. And if they do not repent to Him, He is merciful to them. He afflicts them with calamities, so that the sins will be expiated. And He made the one good deed equivalent to 10, equivalent up to 700 times, while the sin is equal to only one. And if the person who commits a sin was to be regretful and seek forgiveness, Allah will forgive that as well. He accepts and He is grateful to small deeds which we do. And He forgives a lot and a lot of sins and disobedience. He says at the end, my slaves, there's no safety. And there's no salvation except if we return in repentance to Allah and go back to Him. And listen to this hadith Qudsi. It's a very important hadith. Two of them actually. From Abu Dharr, the first one. Allah says, my slaves, I have made transgression or oppression forbidden upon myself, and I made it amongst you forbidden, so do not oppress one another. O my slaves, verily you sinned during the night and during the day, and I forgive all the sins, so seek my forgiveness, I shall forgive you. O my slaves, you will never be able to harm me. You will never be able to harm me. Nor will you be able to benefit me. O my slaves, if the first amongst you and the last amongst you, the ins among you and the jinn among you, were all equal to the most righteous man, they had the heart of the most righteous man amongst you, this will not increase my dominion in anything. If everybody was good, it's not going to make Allah any better. He's already the way He is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if all of you, the first and the last, the ins and the jinn, all of them were equal to the worst person, the most wicked heart of a man, that will not harm me or decrease my dominion in anything. O my slaves, verily, if each and every one of you, the first and the last, the ins and the jinn, were all to stand together and ask me, I will give each person what he asked for, and that will not decrease my dominion in anything. Just like if you were to put your finger in the ocean and take it out, it will not reduce the water of the ocean in anything. Then he said at the end, O my slaves, it is only your deeds. I record them for you, and then I will hold you accountable for them. So whosoever finds goodness, let him praise Allah. And whosoever finds other than that, then do not blame anyone but yourself. Don't say it was the shaitan, it was this, it was the people, it was my culture, it was my country, my forefathers. Nope. Your deeds, Allah knows, gave everyone fitrah. Even if all of your forefathers were wrong, you don't follow them on their error. He gave each one of us fitrah to see the truth and follow the truth. No one can come and blame anyone else on Yawm al-Qiyamah in this regard. Don't blame anyone but yourself. Even the shaitan, he will say, مَا أَنَا بِمُصْرِخُكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُصْرِخِي لَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Before that he said, don't blame me, blame yourself. دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. I only invited you. You, the one who responded to me. I didn't grab you by your arm and twist your arm and say, come. I only gave da'wah to you, shaitan. And you, the one who willingly accepted. So now don't blame me, blame yourselves. This is in the Quran. See how great the affair is. And this is good news for the righteous people. Allah Azza wa Jal says in another hadith Qudsi, whosoever shows enmity to a wali, one of the righteous slaves of Allah, I have declared war against him. Verily my slaves does not come nearer to me in anything which is more beloved to me than that which I have made obligatory. Ahamshi, the most important thing is farida, the fard, before the nafila. Huh? And then my slave continues to seek nearness to me through nawafil, voluntary prayers, until I love him. Once I love him, I become the hearing with which he hears, and the vision with which he sees, and the hand with which he strikes, and the foot with which he walks. What does that mean? The ulama explain it. It doesn't mean literally, because that would be a very dangerous ideology. It means that you only hear what is pleasing to Allah, and you only see what is pleasing to Allah. This is how the level of consciousness you have. Your hand doesn't strike, your foot doesn't go in any direction, you don't see nor hear anything except what is pleasing to Allah. So when you hear music, you're disturbed. Say, what is this man? Turn it off. Huh? Some people, when once they hear music, khalas, they can't take it anymore. Some people hear music, they enjoy it. Turn it up, turn it up. He's not a wali of Allah. End of story. Not, no way. If they see haram, they can't enjoy it. They cannot enjoy it because they see with that vision. The vision that Allah Azza wa Jal will give them. Wallah al-musta'an. Then he quoted the ayah, just so you know the definition of wali. Because now again we have new definition of everything. Modern days we have new definitions. Who is the wali of Allah? Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. They have two qualities. The awliya of Allah, la khawf, no fear. Wa lahum yahzanun, nor shall they grieve. Two qualities. Alladhina amanu. وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Anyone who believes and has taqwa is a wali of Allah. He may be better than others because of more iman, more taqwa. But it is not someone who we build a construction around his grave and we put a sign and people collect money and put carpet and flowers. This is not the wali of Allah. He could be someone punished in his grave. He could be burning in the grave and people are worshipping him outside. Allahu A'lam. Does anyone know the unseen? Can anyone open the grave and see that he is in a garden from gardens of Jannah? No, you can't. So we have human definition of wali, and we have the Quranic definition. Choose the one you think is better. Any one of you can be a wali. Right here. Depending on your iman and taqwa. Now with ilm, you get other titles as well. So at the end of the khutbah, the Shaykh said, repent to your Lord, be mindful of him in secret and in public. Rectify your behavior, depend on him, and cut all hopes from anyone other than him. And then he made a dua, obviously, for the Muslims who are suffering all over the world. And one of the ways, yani, which we can help them is by us repenting to Allah and, trying to practice Islam. You see, what's happening to the Muslims is because of Muslims. What's happening to Muslims in Afghanistan or in Pakistan or in Syria or Palestine is because of us. When we return to the deen of Allah, all of us, Allah will bring the sovereignty and the authority back to us. We have to do something about it. So besides the fact that there are now places where you can donate money for Syria, there are places somewhere on 16th Street, different organizations that are accepting donations which they are sending to the people that are the outside Syria who had to run, flee for their lives. Besides that form of assistance, the most important one really is we. Each one of us practices Islam in his life and in the family around and the children. When we all have this kind of conduct, this will be among the most successful ways to bring back the honor and power of Muslims. Not in one country, worldwide. So I hope inshallah we'll be able to do so. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Sorry for the elongation. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.